Well, let's start with a prayer. Father, we do thank you for the good news of Christmas, and we do pray now that you would open our hearts so that we might hear more about that good news. So teach us, we pray, through the power of your Spirit. Amen. Well, many of you know that I spent many years working for Texaco in their IT department, and on one occasion there was a meeting in Belgium. Everybody was seated there around the table, and a concession had to be made, and my boss made that concession. Or at least he thought he had, because what he actually said was, "That's no skin off my nose." And then suddenly he was aware of all these Belgians staring at his nose, thinking, "What is this strange Englishman going on about?" It's amazing how often we communicate poorly. We can say something that is ambiguous. Words can easily be misinterpreted. On another occasion, I remember being in France with a friend who was studying the local lingo. We asked for directions to the post office, and what we both heard, or thought we heard, was, "Oh, it's just down that road over there," only in French. To us, that meant a couple of hundred yards down that road, and so we started to walk. And we continued to walk, and we continued to walk. We walked a long way. Eventually, there was still no post office, so we retraced our steps, and we found the same person. We asked her, "Look, you did say the post office was down that road, didn't you?" "We've looked, and we couldn't find it." "Oh, yes," came the reply. "It's down there, but over a kilometre, perhaps." Good communication is important. Well, in our final Bible reading, which we just heard Carol read to us this evening, we hear that God communicates. Now, that might come as a bit of a shock to some people, but Christians do believe in a speaking God. A God who is not silent. The question is, does he communicate clearly and effectively? That reading begins like this. "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in many ways." So there we go. God has spoken in the past. Well, that's a wonderful thing to know. God has spoken. So how do we listen to what God has to say? Well, of course, we can go to these words. God spoke through the prophets long ago. It's what Christians call the Old Testament part of the Bible. God has spoken through the prophets. And I suppose without that communication from God, all religious ideas can only ever be speculation. But if God has spoken, well, that changes everything. As we read the Old Testament, we discover a lot about what God is like and what he said about the world, himself, and humanity. But let me illustrate. Imagine that you have only ever lived in a locked room with no windows. All you've ever known is those four walls. I'm suddenly getting a panic that somebody's got claustrophobia. It's a large room. But all you've ever known is those four walls. Likewise, everybody else in that room has only ever known the inside of the room. Now, what happens when you start to wonder what might be out there, beyond the room? It can only ever be guesswork, can't it? Mere speculation. Unless one day somebody pushes a letter under the door. That's what it's like to read the Old Testament prophets. It's like reading a letter from God. The person outside the room has sent a message inside. And so as we read the prophets, we hear what God has to say. And we discover things about God. We discover he created the world. He created us as human beings. He created you. He created me. We also discover how God hates it when we turn away from doing what is right. The word in the Bible used for such turning away is sin. But we also discover that he is a God who says this. He says, "I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and quick to forgive sin and rebellion." So as we read that letter from outside, we discover that God loves the world and that he wants to shower his blessing on all peoples despite our rebellion. And then finally, the prophets say something interesting. They say that someday God will bring that blessing about by sending somebody to save the world from all the sin and darkness that we have to face in it. So going back to that illustration of the locked room, over time more letters get posted under the door. More of the Old Testament prophets. And some of those letters tell you to expect a visit from somebody. Somebody who has always existed outside of the room, except now he says he's going to come in. Well, we've seen that this evening, haven't we? In each pair of readings, we have moved from the Old Testament prophecy about the coming of Jesus to its fulfillment in Luke's Gospel. Each reading's been in a pair. However, the last reading stood alone. The last reading goes on to say this, but in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. I suppose the thing about letters is that they can only really give us part of the picture. Likewise, the prophets, although they tell us loads about God, they're not the full extent of God's revelation. Something more is required, like a personal visit. So one day, the door of that locked room bursts open and a person from outside walks in. No longer do we just have the letters posted under the door, we now have the real thing in person. Those letters said he was coming and now he is here. That person would be the fullest revelation as to what is outside the room. And that's what it's like to look at the person of Jesus. I mean, how can we know what is beyond this universe? By ourselves, we cannot. Yet we do know something about it, because God has spoken. Firstly, through the prophets, those letters being pushed under the door, but now, finally and fully, through his Son Jesus, who has come to visit us from beyond. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God speaks most clearly through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, well, let me tell you what's out there. And I'm qualified to tell you what's out there because I've been out there. In fact, I'm the one who made everything, including you. That's what our final reading goes on to say. Jesus is the one through whom God made the universe. More than that, we're told Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father's being. So when we look at Jesus, we see what God is like. So as we look at Jesus, what do we discover about God and about the bigger picture of reality? Well, perhaps I can explain by reading this poem by Pam Milliard, one of the members here at St. John's. Pam very kindly gave me a copy of her book of poems when I started back in September. And I'd like to read you this one called Because I Love You. I think it makes the point very powerfully. So as we look at Jesus, what do we discover about God? In the fullness of God's time he came. The angel said that Jesus was his name. For he, who all the universe had made, within the Virgin Mary's womb was laid. So was he fashioned in that secret place, the same as any child of human race. God's only Son in true divinity, yet truly man in his nativity. Jesus, why come to us so far below? I came, my child, because I love you so. And so it was in Bethlehem's city there, Jesus was born of Mary, true and fair. Oh, how the angel sang to praise his birth, Jesus, the King of heaven, born on earth. There in cattle manger was he laid, then to rough shepherds and wise men displayed. Laid in a wooden crib for all to see, would some who came be there at Calvary? Jesus, why come to earth so cruel and wild? I came because I love you so, my child. Was there no other way to rescue me from all my sin and my iniquity. No other way, that's how it had to be, through perfect sacrifice to victory. So promised in the hour of Mary's pain is our new birth when we are born again. In her the second Adam's life began, this perfect Jesus come to rescue man. Why, Jesus, did you come to take our blame? Because I love you so, my child, I came. The sage's gift of myrrh his death foretold, his life poured out, his body dead and cold. The grave clothes of the tomb would mirrored be, there in the swaddling bands of infancy. The precious gold the wise men chose to bring foretells his victory, proclaims him king. With incense did they come to worship low, into eternity it would be so. Praise be to Jesus who has set us free for his great love and his nativity. So why do I read that poem? I guess because it emphasizes the extent of God's love for us. In it we're reminded of how God was willing to humble himself and be born as a human being. A human who knew hardship from day one by being born out in the cold and placed in a manger. A manger, an animal feeding trough. That's really no place for the God of the universe. And then he was brought up in an occupied territory. And finally, he experienced a brutal death. And you know, in all of this, God speaks. As we look at Jesus, we hear God's voice, that final and fullest revelation to humankind. And we hear him say, I love you, my child. In Jesus, we see a God who cares for humanity, who cares for us, a God who is willing to get involved in the mess of human life. He identifies with us. He suffers with us. Even more than that, he suffers on behalf of us. Back to our final reading from Hebrews, which goes on to say how Jesus provided purification for sins. He cleanses all of our wrongdoings if we come to him in faith. Now, he could only do that by becoming a human being and by taking upon himself the sins and sorrows of humanity. But in doing that, Jesus is able to wipe the slate clean, and where sins have been forgiven, there can be eternal life. That's what's on offer as we look at Jesus. So as we come to a close, what have we seen? God has spoken, and it's a message of love. Christmas is about God's fullest revelation of himself, the Lord Jesus, the one whose hands created us, and how out of love he was born into poverty, and how as a man he allowed himself to be attacked, beaten up, and put to death, so that he could rescue us from all our sins and sorrows. God has spoken. It's a great message. Well, if you'd like to find out more about this great message, I have two suggestions. Firstly, I've got some copies of John's Gospel here. This is a shorter biographical account about Jesus. If you'd like to find out more about how God has revealed himself, well, do take one from me on your way out. Well, secondly, why not take one of our service cards, which describe what we're going to be doing on Sunday mornings here in January through to April. We're running a series in our morning services at 10:30 called I'm Glad You Asked That. And we're going to be tackling many of the questions you may be asking, such as, well, how do I know that I can trust what the Bible says? Who exactly did Jesus claim to be? How can a good God allow suffering? What is life after death like? It promises to be a very interesting series. I do hope you can make it. But in the meantime, let me wish you all a very happy Christmas. We move on to a short time of prayer now. So let us pray to our incarnate Lord, who has brought us out of darkness and into his own marvellous light. Christ, born for us, Son of God given for us, help us to know you, to worship and to serve you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Wonderful Counselor, you order all things with your wisdom. Help the Church to reveal the mystery of your love and fill her with the Spirit of truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, the government is on your shoulders. Guide the leaders of the nations and bring in your kingdom of justice and righteousness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting Father, you call us to live together in unity. Protect by your mercy all your children. Bless our families and renew our communities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Prince of Peace, you bring reconciliation through the cross. By your healing power, give to all who suffer your gift of wholeness and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, full of the Spirit, hear our prayer, receive our praises, fill our lives. Amen.